In a world where every conversation is about what movie or TV show you've just seen, this is Never Seen It. Comedians rewriting famous movies and TV shows they've never seen. Hey everybody, this is Never Seen It. This is the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies they've never seen before, and we read their script. Today, Paul Danke is here, hilarious comedian who has a brand new album out. Paul is so funny. Paul has never seen The Bucket List, but he rewrites it, and we take on his script. I mean, I can't believe we've never done this movie. This is one of those movies where we all... I remember the promotions being so huge because Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson were in it and everyone being super hyped. And then I also think I never saw it. But I remember the trailer, skydiving, who knows. Anyways, Paul is here. This episode is so fun. Adam Newman joins us as well. Paul's script is so funny. And we just have an overall good time talking about the movie, my squeaky chair I'm in. And it's a good time. You're going to love the episode. If you want video, I got video set up in my new studio spot. It's coming together. YouTube.com/neverseenit. We're there. We're going to be doing a special thing on the Patreon this next month that can get you basically some free Patreon stuff. But it's going to be kind of a special thing going on with a different platform that I'm posting on. You'll have to read the details over there. It's not quite all ironed out yet, but Patreon.com/neverseenit. I hope you enjoy the episode. If you're in Los Angeles, I'm performing this Sunday my show Hard to Say about trigeminal neuralgia, living with chronic pain, and that sort of stuff. Comedy show. I have Reggie Watts, Aparna Nancherla, and Jermaine Fowler on that show. ElysianTheater.com is where you get tickets. I also have shows coming up in Denver, Fort Collins, Boulder. I got Portland and Seattle, which I've never been to ever in my life, being set up as well. Maybe some Bay Area. KyleAyers.com is where that stuff will go up when the tickets are available. And just follow me on Instagram at Kyle Ayers. That's your best spot to see when this stuff comes available. I'm so bad at promoting it. Please enjoy the episode. Please, if you're in Los Angeles or you know anyone who is, tell them about the show this Sunday, February 4th. I can't believe it's almost February. Enjoy the episode. ElysianTheater.com. Thank you so much. Paul Danke has never seen The Bucket List. I don't know why I paused dramatically. Anyways, we should do like the podcast part of the podcast. Paul, you have never seen... It's been a while since we've had such out of left field hasn't been on the podcast movie suggestion.
I couldn't believe this hadn't been done. This is, I think, the most referenced movie. The ratio of references to having seen this movie is insane.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, it's the bucket list.
The bucket list.
Is this where that came from?
It's definitely what made it like colloquialism.
Okay.
I'm sure it existed as an idea, but this was the thing that launched it into like the conversation.
I literally was about to ask you details about the movie. That was like my next thing. I was like, so in the movie when they, like, I like, couldn't believe it. No, I haven't.
I haven't either.
You haven't either?
No, but it's exactly what you said. And I had heard Bucket List before.
When is
everybody
this from,
started
like,
using
this
it
is,
after that.
One odd thing I found about this is that these guys are both still alive.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of who it
and they
is.
Made a movie about how they're both like about to die and
Morgan
have to do
Freeman?
Cool stuff or something. Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson.
Okay, yeah.
Oh,
all right,
yes.
Yeah.
I knew Morgan Freeman. I didn't remember who the white guy was in it.
Great. Well, we should do the script before we talk into too much of the possible spoils here. Is there anything you want to preface?
No. Great. No, I think the story will tell itself.
I just remember this being a huge deal when it came out because of the casting.
Oh, I mean,
yeah,
we're very like
huge.
This was like Heat, but with like where because De Niro and Pacino had never been on screen together.
Right.
This
right.
was like Heat, but with no weight to it.
It was weird. It, just as the idea, the trailer for it, which I don't remember. But I remember it just having these like sunny old people.
Yeah.
And it just took off. It just launched and never stopped going. And now I feel like every person knows exactly what you mean when you say that's going on my bucket list.
Totally.
People say it all the time.
I actually talk to people because I have this show about this disease.
Yeah.
And I talk to people about bucket lists during it. And we let people like talk about what they have going on for theirs and everything.
I think it's nice for people to say, yeah, there are things that I want to do. But why?
It is weird that it's a trademark. Or not, it's like a term. That is crazy. This is such a common term. And I think 60 people saw this movie.
Yeah, how could it have bombed so hard and yet caught fire so...
I have it in a joke. An old joke I don't tell anymore, but I've literally, like, I've used it for stuff.
Bucket list, yeah. The idea? Sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's everything. I don't know. It's like a way more popular vision board or something. You know what I mean? It's like if something invented that idea.
Things to do before you die. It's like a thing we've all thought about, and it's a thing we all think about all the time. So there you go. It gave us a real easy,
I remember
catchy
this movie coming out and me thinking, oh, they're all going to win Oscars for this. Because it was like 2010 maybe, or 2011.
I think it was even earlier than
really?
That. I think it was. This was obviously a post-Shawshank Morgan where he had the gravitas of, you know, that was unmatched and not matched since. And him going through this just felt meaningful.
2007.
Did it come out before or after Schindler's Bucket List?
After.
Yeah.
Before and
during, actually.
After.
That was the weird part.
Sorry.
The weird part was same year. It was a real Armageddon Deep Impact sort of thing.
Oh, yes.
Nicholson telling people to not see Schindler's List, I thought was a lot, especially how he emphasized not seeing it.
Yeah. Also, by the way, when you described the trailer, I think no one has described Jack Nicholson as Sonny in a very long time.
I do remember because they're happy. They're pursuing whatever this is, and it was just like, fuck you. Who cares? Oh, I was way too young to possibly care about it.
I was, I guess, 19, and I just actually remember thinking, this is going to win so many awards. But really what was happening was two of the eight actors I've heard of are in a movie. I was like, and the only two actors both my mom and I know.
I love when they make movies with a mostly old cast. I think it's usually really good.
Right. This was 80 for Brady, but in 2007.
Yes. And before they started, well, now they make them all with this sort of soap opera filter where everyone looks it's lit so well that it is distracting.
Like 80 for Brady?
80 for Brady looks like shit.
They do sometimes, the lighting looks like a SNL pre-tape.
Yeah.
Where you're like, this is really just all of the light you can possibly have to make the shoot as cheap and fast as possible.
Yes, Instagram filters.
Which works
for
SNL.
Movies.
One lighting setup.
Yeah, I thought, did you
wheel
see
the
when,
sets in and out.
Who was in 80? Was when Jane Fonda had the dog face filter, I thought was a lot. I don't know if she was in 80 for Brady. Or
I think
alive.
She is. I think she is in it.
I did not see that one yet either.
Well, let's do Bucket List. Let's see what you think it was, despite having never seen it. And cast it up however you'd like.
Oh, okay. Why don't I'll be Marcus, and Adam, you can be Bill.
Okay.
All right. And I'm gonna have you play Carrie.
Great.
As well as old witch.
Great.
And old woman. Adam, you will be the twins.
Bill and the twins.
And
I call my Eldos the twins.
I can't just be one character. I'll be Mrs. Cole as well.
Is that because one looks like Danny DeVito and one looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah. I have a different disease.
I didn't break this down. There's a bigger cast than that.
If anything else pops up, you can just cast it when we get to it too.
Okay.
It's more than fine. I don't want to ruin any reveals.
No, it won't. It won't.
I'm having a nice time. It feels nice in the studio.
Yeah.
I feel calm. It's been this is the least stressed I've felt in a while. This is gonna sound insane. I've had a good time thinking about the movie Bucket List all morning without looking anything up. I didn't want to look it up and like, no.
No,
why would you?
When you told me, which was, you were like, I'm going to do the Bucket List. I'm like, oh, that's, thank you. That sounds so fun. And then I was just like thinking about the poster and the stuff I remember from the trailer. And just like, I think I saw the trailer for the Bucket List like maybe at Zoolander was way earlier than that.
Yeah,
what movie? I remember going to a movie theater and seeing the trailer for Bucket List.
What year did
like,
you say it came
wow.
out?
Because
I'm
07.
You were 7 when the
07.
Bucket List? Oh, 07. And you said you were 19?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was born in 88.
I was 24, 25. All right.
I'm older than both of you.
You're older than both of you? How old are you?
I'm 42.
I'm 41.
Hey.
It's not crazy.
No.
We looked fine.
We look, I think,
better. I think we look pretty good.
I think we're holding up like,
yeah.
You guys, you guys are really sound like you're describing the trailer to Bucket List.
I was working on a bit. I was looking at my notebook this morning, and I'm kind of working on a bit about not things you do before you die, but like midlife crises, because I feel like starting in like my late 20s, I started doing things that would be midlife crises. But I was trying to do the math on like, when is really the midlife crisis?
How long have I been rebuilding electric guitars?
That was pandemic, man. Exactly. Pandemic was you're allowed at least two midlife crises during the pandemic.
I think you should just be allowed to like do what you did during the pandemic without shame now still.
Yeah.
Agreed. I don't feel any shame about weird hobbies.
What did you pick? What did you pick up?
I started playing music more, which I hadn't done in a long time.
Same.
And I feel great about it. I do it every day, and I'm not going to not do
this age too. I was so glad, because wives can be, or girlfriends, wives, whatever, can be very like, you're going to play this. And it's annoying to live with somebody practicing an instrument all the time.
Just play, because they're always out shopping.
Yeah.
So just play then.
But she's awesome about being like, you know, she's my age appropriate wife. I know a lot of people, when my hair was long, they said I look like Chris D'Elia, but age-appropriate wife, and you can cut that out. I don't need to keep saying that every time.
No, it's fine. He helps our SEO.
But but things like that, playing music, and a lot of the hobbies people picked over are, when you're getting older, are great for you. They're great brain things.
That there's something to when you are not needing to scrounge so hard, you will pursue art. So in the pandemic, where maybe you can take a breath, it is a horrible thing that happened. But if you're able to like take a breath and then you're like, actually, I like music. Well, if you're able to take a breath, it's a bad thing to reference, like enjoying COVID time.
Oh, sorry.
Because they weren't able to. But I think there's something to like it. I'm not worried about where the next half hour is making money all the time, making money, getting food. People who tend to have a little bit of breathing room will try and do something artistic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the midlife crisis thing. I feel like my life has been in crisis since 2001. I don't feel like I've ever had like
what happened that year.
Just 9/11 and the obvious collapse of all things that were stable, and it's just been so apparently and obviously rocky and shitty ever since.
It's a difficult thing, my brother who was 2 then. I mean, I didn't describe it to him then. I'm screaming at my 2-year-old brother. Everything's changed now, Trevor. But it is hard to explain, as more and more people were not around before it, let alone like cognitively like understanding what's going on. Let me be the first person to bring up that 9/11 changed the world. In a bad way. I'm not the Bills coach.
And you were in probably middle school.
I was in 8th grade.
It did redirect The Sopranos in a really thoughtful way. So I know you guys have touched on The Sopranos a few times on this podcast.
All 9/11 episodes. Every year we drop one.
A new tower
every year. Anyways.
Oh, man. And then Tony eats his tower of gabagool. I'm sorry.
It was like almost a pun, and then you yelled gabagool.
The Tower of Gabagool.
Yeah, you didn't want to overthink that.
You got to think, though, for this podcast, this is still one of the latest into an episode. September 11th has come up.
Oh, that feels nice.
Yeah. So I have a small medal I pin on you. Usually it comes up around 10 minutes in, somewhere between 9 and 11 minutes in, it comes up.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay. Bucket list.
Wait, who did I say is who?
I don't remember any of them.
I'm Bill and the Twins.
You're Bill and the Twins. I'm Marcus. You're Carrie.
Twins. I'm Carrie, old witch and old woman.
Yeah. And I'm going to do Mrs. Cole as well as Marcus.
And if anyone comes up, like I said, we can throw them in there.
And you guys are both the twins.
Okay.
We're both the twins?
Yes.
There's more than one of these?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
We'll
probably talk simultaneously, Adam. Okay.
Okay.
Great. Whenever you're ready. Whenever you're ready.
Okay. Exterior playground morning. Chiron, 1991. A gaggle of fifth grade kids surround a tetherball court. They cheer and taunt the players in the round. The players, Marcus, 10 but looks 12, holds the ball to his eye and glares at Bill, 10 but looks 8, who shakes off his knockoff Looney Tunes jacket, tossing the Rastafari Rugs rabbit onto the ground. Steam ejects from Bill's body. Carrie, the funniest kid in school and kind of buff, steps into the round.
All right. I said, shut the fuck up.
A hush falls over the pack of kids.
This is best 2 out of 3. And since Mark, I don't know, I'm doing like Trump's hand for this kid. He's the funniest middle schooler.
Yeah. Yeah, which means this is the best meanest 2 out of 3. Yeah.
And since Marcus's old looking ass already won one.
Oh, Marcus throws his beanie into the crowd. They cheer and he pumps his fist.
I said, shut the fuck up. These two are playing for Snack Shack punch cards for the last month of school worth an estimated $8.
Carrie holds up a Ninja Turtles sand bucket in the air, shaking its contents. The crowd ooze. This is big. I'm going to eat your lunch, Bill.
We're playing for Snack Shack punch cards, stupid.
The crowd laughs and eggs the boys on as Marcus slowly realizes his intelligence was insulted. Marcus lunges at Bill, and they start yanking on each other's shirts. Carrie steps in and breaks up the melee with a patter of face slaps.
Just drop on the floor. It's fine. Irregardless. Okay, now it sounds like Trump. y'all know these idiots were best friends in third grade. I don't know what happened, but this is hilarious. Now let's get it on.
Marcus launches the tetherball with the force of 1,000 snap bracelets. The ball sings just inches from Bill's face. Marcus, now speedbagging the tetherball as it wraps harder and faster around the pole. Bill stands frozen. The crowd froths in slow motion as Bill's fate and Snack Shack money hang in the balance. The ball nears its final wrap. Marcus, wild with maniacal delight. And in the final moment, Bill slips a hard right hook into the tetherball, sending it back. Mid-strike, Marcus realizes in horror as, bing, Marcus's hand strikes the pole. Immediate disqualification. He has lost round 2. The crowd goes apeshit.
That's the crowd. Oh. Sorry. Oh, wait, it's Carrie's line. It's I was Carrie's like really line. Focused on being the crowd going crazy. Like I had read ahead to that part.
No, you did good.
And then okay. What? What?
She runs around the circle, screaming. Marcus is furious. Bill stalks him with the now unfurled tetherball in his hand. In this moment, Bill is changed, determined, a tough little fucker. He pulls his small fist back and knocks the hell out of the ball, sending it right into Marcus's face. Cut to. The bucket is thrust into the air, aglow against the sunny California skies. On its side, the sun-faded Ninja Turtles frame a list. A bucket list, if you will, of names and sequential years. In fresh Sharpie, it reads 91, Bill. Chiron, 2011. Interior car dealership office. The now even more sun-faded Ninja Turtles beach bucket sits on a shelf stacked with car sales awards. Regional sales awards, national sales awards, the Golden Undercoat Award for upselling the most useless features. Bill, now 30, looks like he is really setting into his life of upper middle class luxury. He has a paunch, a bad hairline, and a Bluetooth headset. Bill checks his diamond encrusted Bugs Bunny watch as he talks to a woman seated across from him. Her 6-year-old twins are crammed hip to hip in the seat next to her.
I'd love to help you. I would. No, I will. I'm going to help you. Please, feet off the desk.
Feet! With creepy symmetry, they lower their feet. Oh, thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. Our PT Cruiser just died out of the blue.
Point of fact, no, it didn't. I don't know who advised you to buy a car with fake wood paneling, but...
It was my husband. He was taken by their old-time charm.
Ah, yes, old-time charm. Nostalgia is catnip for the masses. The dull herd of consumerist cattle pushing through the chutes to slaughter, only competing for a sooner death.
Mrs. Cole is offended on behalf of her husband. Well, those are... big words for a guy with a Ninja Turtles bucket in his office amongst his awards for things he did in the past. Touché. Bill sees a worthy adversary and changes tactics. He stands and takes down the bucket from the shelf.
My first victory. My most important. Do you see this? The list of champions?
I'm sure your mother was very proud.
No, my mom didn't care, but I did. I stole this bucket. I wore it as a hat to my 5th grade graduation.
I'm sure everyone was very impressed with you.
Oh, I didn't care about everyone being impressed. Just the humiliation of the one guy I hated the most. Do you have a nemesis at school? There are 2 of you, so you could likely overpower them.
How kind of you to say.
Well, I think you will be happier in the Kia Soul. Have you kids seen the hamster commercial?
One of our hamsters died.
I'm sorry I asked.
The other hamster ate him.
yes, true, it did. So we turned the commercials off. They are hurtful.
Fair enough. Anyway, I am going to need your husband here to finish the paperwork.
Oh, he should be here any moment. He's getting off his shift at Long John Silver's. If you'd like, he could bring you a plate for lunch.
That's fine. Thank you. Fish, a bad smell.
The door opens as a man in a wet raincoat steps in. Bill grimaces, noticing all of the water dripping on the floor. Oh, there he is. Marcus, honey, this man Bill is willing to help us. Removing his wet hood, Marcus locks eyes with Bill as realization washes over his face. And then Marcus sees the bucket. Bill sniffs, smelling the musty fish scent, and smiles the smile of the devil himself. Cut to interior, bus, night. Marcus, Mrs. Cole sit in silence as the twins, seated behind them, point to things outside their window.
Slug bug.
Slug bug.
They punch their parents in their backs. Over a Ninja Turtles bucket, I can chart all of my losses back to that moment. I've done nothing but lose ever since. Keep talking like that and you'll lose your wife too.
Slug bug!
They punch their parents again. New Beatles don't count. It's just, if it was my name on that bucket, then that would be my story instead of this opening ship Long John Silver's manager. He stares out the window. The raindrops gather and cascade. The heavens weep for Marcus. Mrs. Cole takes her husband's hand in hers. I was beautiful. I was young. I was maturing earlier than everyone else. I was a head taller than little Bill. I was supposed to win. It was my win. I see. I do. And I love you, honey, but every game has a winner. Every game has a loser, but you can't let one loss define who you are. Ever since whenever I'm supposed to win, I lose, and I'm cursed. My name was supposed to be on that bucket list. Mrs. Cole stares out the window on the opposite side of the bus, unable to get a car loan. Unable to discipline her shitty kids, unable to help the man she loves, the man cursed to be a loser. As the bus stops at a light, Mrs. Cole's eyes land on a billboard reading, Memorial Day Blowout, Kia of Claremont. An idea begins to form. We've got to get your name on that Ninja Turtles bucket list. Shifting her focus from the billboard, Mrs. Cole now notices the little old lady with an eye patch seated across from her.
A wish to change one's fate. But I can help.
Exterior, Kia dealership day. Glittering car lot streamers blow in the breeze. The red inflatable cactus man does his dance, as would be Kia owners pour into the lot of the free hot dogs and Huey Lewis tunes playing throughout the space. A Mylar balloon reading Memorial Day sale breaks loose from a balloon guy. At a chip and win booth where customers attempt to chip a wiffle golf ball.
So specific.
It sounds like an awesome event.
I know it does. I'd be like, let's got go really to this. Hyped. You're like, at a chip and win booth. I'm like, okay, let's go.
I want to find out about this stuff. And like, I know none of us are buying Kias, but like, we get some hot dogs and play some games.
Not so bad.
Yeah.
At a chip and win booth where customers attempt to chip a wiffle golf ball into the open sunroof of a Kia Soul from a strategically impossible to hit 40 yards away. Bill pats a customer on the back who just barely missed.
Hey, no, that was close, but a rugged guy like yourself would be more comfortable in a Sportage.
Bill walks the man, already hooked, over to a Kia Sportage. They hop in and we see Bill pop the keys into the sweaty hands of the golfer. As the Sportage pulls out of the lot, a bus stops in front of the lot. As the doors open, out pops Marcus, Mrs. Cole, the twins, and the little old lady with an eye patch and several flowing scarves. Mrs. Cole exchanges nods with the twins, Marcus and the old lady, a team well aware of their individual task. Marcus heads to the chip and win, the twins to the hot dog stand, and Mrs. Cole leads the old lady into the dealership. The twins exchange a look, grab the squirt bottles of ketchup and mustard.
Food fight!
The twins are blasting everyone within range and much of the merchandise with condiments. Three sales associates ditch their customers, chasing the twins through the aisle of cars. To the parents of the children spraying ketchup everywhere, please collect them. All sales associates, please assist. Marcus looks coolly around and shrugs to the salesman now manning the chip and win. The chip and win. Fucking kids, right?
Oh, I'm the salesman?
Sure.
Shit, I'm going to have to wash all of them.
As the salesman bolts, Marcus produces a different golf ball from his pocket, and he measures the weight of the wiffle against his own new golf ball. Cut to interior Bill's office. Mrs. Cole is standing on the counter of Bill's office, taking down the Ninja Turtles bucket. The old lady produces from inside her tote a bucket of Long John Silver's filled with what can only be described as bad fish. this better work.
Fate is a game for the dead. Or for those who might as well be.
You sound so much like Morgan Freeman with that old lady.
Fate is a game for the dead. Or for those who might as well be.
That's pretty good.
It's
really good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
All right, we're cast. He's the witch. Okay, perfect. Fuck it. Mrs. Cole hands the Ninja Turtles bucket to the old witch, who places hands on both buckets and begins mumbling in a trance. Mrs. Cole takes a step back. This is weird. Bumping into the desk, Mrs. Cole spots the candy dish on the table. The absurdity of it all tickles her. It's not that weird. She eats the candy. Light bursts from both buckets. Cut to exterior dealership. Light pours brightly from inside the building. The patrons all freeze at the supernatural event. The Huey Lewis soundtrack dips like a distorted cassette. The dancing man sails slowly to the ground as the power cuts. Then the power bursts back on and everything back to normal. Huey Lewis sings clearly, "If this is it, please let me know." The twins stop running and smile, delighted by the standoff with now 7 car sales associates. They happily turn over the condiments and skip away. Marcus coolly pops his golf ball off the head of the wedge. The wind now blows the lot streamers the other direction. The Sportage pulls back into the lot. In the brief minutes on the test drive, they've been sideswiped. The golfer hops out, already yelling at Bill. "You're goddamn right you'll take care of it. Thing's got a blind spot bigger than my ass."
"Sir, I assure you the other driver was at fault. Please don't go to my... please, let's go to my office. I have a mini fridge stocked with squirt."
"Well, I like squirt." Cut to interior Bill's office. Bill opens the door, nearly knocking over the old witch who was on her way out the door with her tote.
"Ah, excuse me. Cleaning people get older and worse every day."
What a sentence.
The golfer sniffs the air.
"I'll say it smells like Pike's Place Market. God, I hate Seattle."
"Who doesn't? The Supersonics, that Gary Payton is a..."
Bill trails off as he takes in his trophy case, minus one Ninja Turtles beach bucket, and in its place, a fly-covered bucket of Long John Silver's.
Son of a...
Cut to exterior dealership. An associate doing that shitty car sales associate jog jauntily bounces back to the chip and win booth where Marcus stands with his wife and kids.
"Sorry about that. Your kids gave us a real, that was crazy."
"Oh, something happened?" The twins laugh. Mrs. Cole catches the eye of the old witch eating a fish stick as she steps onto the bus just outside the parking lot.
"You really need to get a hold of your kids. This isn't a playground."
His wife puts the Ninja Turtles hat on her husband's head with the freshly inked 11, Marcus. "Who you are in the playground is who you are in real life." Marcus focuses gaze, pulls back the club, and cut to black. End of script. Whoops.
I just thank use you. These for syncing with the video. That was wonderful.
As soon as the old witch came in, I'm like, this is going to be the bucket list meets like Thinner or something.
Beautiful, beautiful. We'll talk a little bit about the bucket list. We're going to take a real quick break.
You guys read that great.
I stumbled over one. I always feel bad when I stumble over a line because there's like, you got one take. You wrote a thing that gets like one life, so I always feel bad.
No, that's okay. There's plenty of places this will be applicable after this. That was wonderful. I could see Nicholson and Freeman playing all of the characters.
Yeah, they would de-age them, obviously, to play their younger
selves. Like Irishman style?
Exactly like Irishman style.
Oh, my
style.
Gosh.
Their old 80-year-old bodies pretending to be 9 would be so funny.
I saw The Irishman late, like well after everyone else had, but I knew where people were like, it's weird because it's Robert De Niro's body with the DH face like stomping on a guy. And I was like, it can't be as bad as everyone says. And then I watched it, I'm like, oh, this, I am out of the movie now.
Yeah, especially with a guy with so much footage of him at that age when he was just a fucking tiger.
Yeah.
Just strong and easy and would just be... easily handing out ass whippings.
There's
and
like
stompings.
AFI montage reels where he's every single character being that age and a badass.
And now he's like couldn't look more like a wooden soldier trying to curb stomp somebody. And it's
it was
so
crazy.
Funny.
Just have someone else play him. Anyways, the bucket list. I loved it. I don't know if this probably isn't what I don't know what happens in the actual movie, but I like this.
I think there's a rivalry. So I tried to honor some type of rivalry. I don't know that there
is. I don't know. What I do know about the bucket list is that I'm pretty sure Nicholson is rich and Morgan Freeman is like middle class, and they are both dying and go do bucket list stuff. It's probably, I don't know. You know what I mean? It was rich. Everyone loved rich people a lot more in 2007.
Well, I would say modern television programming would argue they love it more than ever.
That's probably true.
Prestige television doesn't exist without the wealthy. You know?
That is very true.
I mean, have to tell rich stories.
We did watch those rich people fight over a rich guy's company for 5 years.
Yeah, and I loved it.
Loved every White single Lotus. Second of it. White Lotus is just rich. White Lotus is just very rich. Yeah. It's just rich people getting into antic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love White Lotus, and I can't. I don't relate to vacations like that.
Yeah, I definitely don't relate to a vacation where I don't have to particularly wonder if the card's going to go through. Like, that's the scene that took me out of White Lotus, when he hands over the card for the deposit when he gets there and doesn't worry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really odd. Like, oh, he's not even holding the other card waiting.
He's not distracting her somewhere else and then actually seeing what the debit fee is.
That would be me at White Lotus. I'd be like, every time I have to use the ATM here, I get charged with that, and Bank of America charges me $3.
This is it is expensive to be poor. I think this was like I don't know enough about it to confidently be like, I don't think there's really any conflict in this movie besides like them versus mortality.
That's what I was wondering. I was thinking, okay, bucket list, as far as none of us having seen it, right. I always thought was the two old guys, you know, bucket list. We're going to go do all the things before we die, kind of a feel good, bittersweet, whatever. But I was wondering, what is the conflict? What are they?
It's pretty crazy that this was in 2007 and these were the two oldest actors, and it's been 16 years and they're still both just around being the two. I don't think either of them are really in things anymore, which good.
No, Jack Nicholson retired from acting.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
He had to.
I mean, he's acting like he knows what's going on at a basketball game a lot. Yeah.
He's there.
He definitely is there. I actually, this is such an inside thing. There's a guy that always sits next to Jack Nicholson at games who dresses very cool.
I think we all know who he is.
Yeah, Lou Adler.
Yeah.
Like white hair.
Like the coolest looking guy ever. He's professionally Jack Nicholson's friend, but he's not. He's like a producer.
Yeah, he produced the Cheech and Chong movies, like some Fleetwood Mac stuff.
That's hilarious.
Just like a cool Hollywood. Started the Roxy. Like a very Hollywood guy.
He looks like if you took Tommy Chong and Mick Fleetwood.
I did I shot a talk show at his son's Malibu TikTok house.
Oh, Cisco.
Yes.
Yeah, I worked on a TV show with Cisco.
With Cisco Adler?
I've been to that house.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Up a little weird gated situation.
So specific.
I mean, this was such an insane situation. This was like the most hyper LA thing I've ever thought of in my life. And I felt so out of place the entire time, like writing. And then you're just like, there's like 19-year-olds that are like, yeah, I'm DPing my second A24 movie next week. And you're like, what?
Huh.
And he's making that. Some kid was like 19 working on that Jonah Hill skateboarding movie or something at the time. It is a crazy. It was the most. It's what like AI would convince a Midwesterner Los Angeles is.
I worked on. I used to when I started here. I early got into working on reality shows, and there was a show about Cisco's band called White Star, which they were all celebrities' children. It was him and Roy Orbison's son and the other guys. I don't remember who where they came from.
I believe that's Roy Orbison's son.
Yes, Roy Orbison's name. Orby. He was great. Cool dude. And we, it was...
Boy Orbison.
Boy Orbison. This is my daughter, Roy Orbison. Daughter.
Oh, he was a man. He was a full-grown man when I came across Boy
they
Orbison.
They all were. This was like... I mean, Cisco was... This is a Jamie Kennedy character.
Yeah, I also worked on a Jamie Kennedy show.
Was Cisco part of it?
No, but it was probably right before... It was with when he was rapping, Jamie Kennedy's rapping show. I worked on that.
Wait, what? Not the prank show.
No.
After the prank show? He did was this BPS or after APS?
It was... What was it? That was X. Yeah, it was afterwards. It was after X.
Wow.
And it was... We followed him going around rapping at all these places. And then we followed around this celebrity sun band. We went to Vegas and we did, you know, all the stuff of them recording music.
Were they good at music?
They were like a straight ahead 80s, like in the hair metal genre without being too hair metal-y. They were like a good, what you would call a very good bar band.
Okay.
Like, you know, people would enjoy it, but...
You got to just then learn some covers and be, like, the best at that, because there's money in that.
That's true.
I was... this is also one of the most Los Angeles things that's ever happened to me, was at a Real Housewives bar in Orange County. And yeah. A friend of mine was doing a birthday party on the beach with, like, a bonfire in Orange County. And mm-hmm. afterwards, people were like, this is right by where... Like, his wife was like, this is... Or there's a Real Housewives bar where there's, like, notorious for, like, Real Housewives showing up and getting in fights. We should go. And I'm like, we should definitely go.
Yeah.
And I've never seen any Real Housewives. I've never seen any Roy Orbis wives. I've never seen a Roy. We go to the Real Housewives bar. There's none of them there. It's pretty dead, but there's a Red Hot Chili Peppers cover band there that will not, because they don't have the ability to, play Under the Bridge or Californication or Snow.
Yes.
And they have a sign that's like, we can't. We're not good enough to play. We're not good enough to sing or play. Like, they're like, we won't do these three. And I'm like, this is so funny. I was like obsessed with them drawing a line in the sand at the three songs, you know.
That is very funny.
That is insane.
They were. I was like,
we're a Red Hot Chili Peppers cover band, but our bass player can't.
I also think they're older than anyone in the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It was so. They were just
they're
like
the dehydrated.
And then people
be
like, you'd see someone walk up, see their sign, be like, really, you can't do it? And they're like, we don't.
Snow is kind of hard to play. I know people. It's like I'm big on the YouTube and TikTok guitar communities.
Sure,
there's some stamina issues. But Under the Bridge was like I learned that in my first couple of years.
It could
guitar.
Be a singing thing. They weren't necessarily saying it's just because the guitar player. And I was like, this is the most I'll ever feel like I'm in Orange County. It's a restrictive Red Hot Chili Peppers cover band at a Real Housewives bar on a weekday.
It's probably more out of reverence. You know, they just felt like it would be inappropriate to touch the.
It's too personal. Right? Yeah. Under the Bridge is too personal.
Yeah. Well, hey, I don't know what the bucket. We don't have to talk about the bucket list more.
We can. We can find out what it's actually about.
Well, nah,
that doesn't matter, does it?
It really doesn't. That's the thing. In the end, it doesn't even matter. It just starts with one thing.
What I knew that it was about mortality and how we define ourselves mm-hmm. in our lives. And I thought, you know, for sure, the way we interact with buckets defines all of us. Mm-hmm. It depends on the bucket and the situation, and it can define your whole life. And that's what happened.
What's in your bucket?
Is this a kick the bucket thing?
Yeah.
Is that what the bucket list is?
Yeah, yes. Before you kick the bucket.
Now, what is kick the bucket hanging yourself?
Oh, I never thought of that. That makes sense, though, doesn't it? But
does anyone?
Oh.
Like, because you stand on a bucket and kick it off?
I never thought of it as killing yourself, though. I always thought of it as just things before you die.
I'm just wondering if that just feels like where it probably came from.
It probably does. It makes sense. I assumed it was depleting your reservoir of whatever, but I think what you're onto is dark.
It feels like it could be like a Wild West type of thing.
Yeah, you kick the bucket.
You kick the bucket.
It's catchier than shoot yourself in the face list.
Is this a hang yourself list?
The things you must do before you shoot yourself in the face. Whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Dude, I got a skydive before I literally shoot myself in the face.
Buy bullets.
I have to see the Grand Canyon. Buy bullets is like eighth on the list between Grand Canyon and like take a train trip.
You have to get to it eventually. But you're not finding
I don't think
bullets.
They'll sell them to you if they know you're on a shoot yourself in the face list.
Nah. Mm-mm. Well, if you go to one of those, you know, like a gun show, then they don't care. That's
they
different.
Don't care at all. Like, these ones are good for that. well, we got a couple games we're going to play on the podcast before we wrap things up. Sorry. The first thing we're going to play, we're looking red button on there. This is called Before and Afters.
Get ready to play Before and Afters.
Use this like a clipboard, if that makes sense. More thickness, easier to write on.
Oh, okay.
This is Before and Afters. How this works is two movies have been smashed together into one. I will read you both the smashed together plot. Okay. You have to tell me the smashed together title. What was the one from before? Schindler's Bucket List.
Schindler's Bucket List.
Mm-hmm.
So your description would be Liam Neeson. I don't know.
a guy actually does what he wants to do before he dies.
Ouch.
That's nice.
It's Schindler's List the same, but he pivots and actually goes skydiving instead. He's like, I will be right back.
Yeah.
I really want to see a Times Square.
From from above.
Totally fair.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be a way to go if you're looking is just
skydive into Times Square with no parachute. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I thought that's what what's-his-name was going to do when he was climbing that building recently.
Jared Leto?
Yeah, yeah.
He did just climb. Was that here or was that in New York?
I haven't heard of this.
I think it was in New York.
He just skated. It's funny. He just climbs like a 6-story building here for attention. Did you see Jared Leto climb those new rent-controlled condos in Los Feliz? He used the fire escape.
Oh, he's all the way. It happened so fast. Oh, okay. All right.
Well, he just bought them. He's flipping them.
Oh, that's different.
Man, there was also, didn't someone, he did climb a building. Was that for something? Is it just a sick, twisted mind?
Yes, it's all part of his cult, all part of like gaining power.
He was trying to be a few seconds closer to Mars.
29 seconds. You guys are out of the band. These are my songs.
He doesn't know how close it is. He's like, I just spent 8 hours doing something. I'm 1 second closer. Okay, so two movies smashed together into one. 30 Seconds to Mars attacks. That's not two movies, but we see where the smashing comes into play. I'll read the plot. You tell me the title here. You're more than welcome to work together or compete against one another, whatever you'd prefer. Here we go, number one.
I'm
into
working together. I'm going to say that.
Yeah, let's nail this.
I'm not going to. After all that bucket list competition, I'm ready to team up.
Yeah, I don't want to die angry.
it will happen.
Oh, you're so right.
Two guys want to take their basement public access show to commercial television amidst a sudden zombie apocalypse.
It's definitely Wayne's World. Zombie can we throw into Wayne's World?
Yeah.
Wayne's World War Z.
There you go. Wayne's World War Z.
Yeah, that was right. That was at least the accurate. That was the right answer.
Yeah, yeah. There was 28 Dwayne's Worlds later.
No, that's fucking funny.
Shit.
What are others?
We could think of a bunch of these. I say that very cocky without having thought of it.
No. Go ahead. In real time.
Oh, that's another zombie movie.
All of the Living Dead. So Wayne, the World of the Living Dead? That's not even
Night
funny.
Of the Living Dwayne's? No, that's too far.
No, let's just think.
You can't play any Dead Zeppelin.
World War Wayne.
Isn't that from Wayne's World? I haven't seen Wayne's World.
You haven't seen Wayne's World?
No.
You got to see. That one is one that I'm...
You really should.
You really got to see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I watch it now.
Yeah.
No, we're ending early.
All right, number two. A thick, mysterious fog traps a father and son in a grocery store with Leonard Bernstein. Bernstein?
Boy, this is...
Is the fog one the...
Is it Bernstein or Bernstein? Does anyone know?
I'm afraid Leonard to say Bernstein. Leonard Bernstein?
Leonard Bernstein sounds right.
Yeah.
I call Bradley Cooper and ask. That's what I took. Oh,
Fog Market? What do we call this?
Fog Market?
What do you want to call this piece of shit?
Fog Market. Okay. No, the fog one. Which one's the fog one? That's not. Is it
a mysterious fog?
I don't want to be fucking stupid. I know it's one of the.
We just said
scary
Fog Market
movies.
And laughed at it a little bit.
We
so
did.
I think. It's okay to just say whatever you
is
want to say.
Is the old fog movie?
The old fog movie?
It's not The Thing, is it? Is it The Thing?
No, that's the Arctic one.
It's a shorter title.
It's the Arctic one. Which is the one... It's not The Fog.
I think there might be one called The Fog.
There is one called The Fog.
I wouldn't have used Fog.
I know, that's what I'm saying. But
yeah, that's why we went Fog Market.
There's one that's like as...
I don't know why. I want to make this movie poster. If you're listening to the podcast, remind me... to Photoshop Fog Market onto the poster for this movie.
It starts with the thunderclap of the water spray above the produce.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's good. The perfect storm in
Ooh.
Ralph's. What is that? Okay, what's the
perfect
second?
Perfect storm in Ralph's?
Nah, we got
it's arriving when the bakery opens.
What was the second part of it? Someone's
trapped
in a grocery
store? A thick, mysterious fog traps a father and son in a grocery store with Leonard Bernstein.
Who? All right. What?
With
are
American conductor Leonard Bernstein.
Who's
stuck in a grocery store ever in a movie?
With famous American conductor portrayed by Bradley Cooper,
Maestro.
Leonard Bernstein.
Oh, the Maestro.
The Maestro.
So it's okay. So that's a good place to start. Now, what's the fucking fog movie?
Mice Kroger.
Mice Kroger.
It's like
yeah.
Mice Kroger.
Mice Kroger.
Yes.
Ralph Stroh. God damn it. I know. It's driving me crazy that I can't think of the
Marijuana
fog movie.
Stro.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this. It's the name of a movie and not a Los Angeles-based grocery store.
Well,
if that eliminates anything you're thinking. We are looking
King
for...
King Ralph's?
No, but one of the movies is a Stephen King Ralph's.
Oh, man.
And I'll give you a hint. It's not Maestro.
Is it like a mist
is
or something?
Where there's been the nuclear winter.
Mistro?
The Mistro!
Mistro!
Thank God. Thank God.
Did you know it, Jake? He's like over here, like, God. Stressed.
I was trying to think of a fog right. movie that I
all right. Paul's ahead 5-4.
There's no wrong answer. That's what I'm feeling.
It's 5-4 out of 10. I guess it's 5-5.
I'm glad Paul's winning.
It's all about what you contribute in what directions. two dolls leave their colorful, seemingly perfect world, piling into a motorhome and heading on a vacation to the real world.
It's got to be Barbie and what's the second? Can you repeat the second part?
Two dolls leave their colorful, seemingly perfect world, piling into a motorhome and heading on a vacation to the real world.
That's a Toy Story 4, I feel like.
Is it?
Yeah. They're in an RV in Toy Story 4.
Okay. I was thinking of what's the other one that had a...
But I don't... They're going
I don't
to
know why it's so funny. Like, oh, they're in an RV in Toy Story 4. I don't know why that's so funny to me. I guess they are.
They're meet also in an RV in a...
They meet the spoon, the spoonula. No, the spork.
Oh, Sporky.
Sporky, yeah.
Barbie.
One thing that happened to Pixar when Disney engulfed it was the addition of ridiculous side comedy. Characters like a Sporky, and I like Sporky and Toy Story 4, but you know what I mean? That's a very Disney thing to be like, everyone looks the same except the dragon talks.
Is it Bar V?
Bar V is correct. The Bar V movie.
No, that's not it either. No. No.
All right. 3 points for Adam, 2 for Paul. Either way, you're
for Toy Story
Adam.
4. Is that where he got points for just saying another movie?
He said
with RV in it?
A bunch, but just referencing.
I did
the
RV
the is
Robin Williams yeah. film. RV.
I thought you said RV. Oh no, you said
no. That would have been me saying the answer.
Yeah. What did you say? In a minivan?
Motorhome.
Motorhome.
Next one. We did the Mister. I should cross that out.
If I get one of these right, it's gonna be.
You're only
terrible.
Down by 1 point. A family takes in a homeless black teen and helps him become both an NFL lineman and a pretentious wine snob slash struggling writer.
The Blind Sideways.
What? Yeah, that was good. That was great.
You know, I feel like that two of my favorite movies. Could you imagine?
This is a movie's full of my favorite ways to talk to people.
You go on Letterboxd and it's just me raving about The Blind Side.
You know what Sideways lacked was Sandra Bullock fixing him.
Yeah.
She could have.
And the real life family exploiting him, which I think came out, right? Didn't think of something came out that the actual person, the actual football player, like wasn't making any money off of it.
Oh my God.
That's like a real like Flowers for Algernon situation, if you're familiar with that book.
Yeah.
The guy just like going through the scenario, living your life. It's an incredible story. It gets turned into a story. Oh, that was incredible. Then you watch it and you're like, wait a fucking minute.
Can't wait to go. Yeah.
Was I safe? What the fuck is happening? You're looking at your mom and she's waving at you. You're like, I'm going to murder this
family. Once they like re-brought up everything, because Michael Ower, I think is the football player's name, the NDA or whatever ended. So he started bringing up, hey, they screwed me out of a lot of money. And he's like, hey, they screwed me out of a lot of money. Also, the way I looked in the movie made me look disabled. Like, except he used a word I'm not going to use on the podcast. But I think if you're using it about yourself and how you're depicted, I'm not going to be mad at him. And he was like, I wasn't able to really talk about it that much, but my God.
Yeah.
They made it look like I couldn't read.
Horrible.
Anyways, next one. After moving to a new town, an 11-year-old girl contemplates life, friendship, and more, connecting with her mother, grandmother, and the prehistoric reptilian king of the monsters.
It's got to be something with Godzilla, right?
This feels like Beetlejuice. It feels like half of the plot to Beetlejuice.
No.
After moving to a new town, an 11-year-old girl contemplates life, friendship, and more, connecting with her mother, grandmother, and the prehistoric reptilian king of the monsters.
Yeah, Godzilla. Well, okay.
It's like, what's a movie that has God in it?
Oh, are you there, Godzilla? It's me.
Is that good?
Margaret?
Yeah. That is correct. I didn't know. That was a good teamwork.
That's good teamwork right there. I'll give Paul all 5 points.
You're like, I'm just guessing.
I don't know that.
It's currently 13 to 12.
I haven't seen that movie.
I didn't write down.
I did watch the new Godzilla, the show, though. Was it on Apple with Kirk Douglas and his son are both in it?
Cool.
It was pretty good.
There's a lot of Godzilla content going around these days.
Yeah.
I think great. Godzilla, yeah, yeah, it's a huge a timeless character.
I mean, you're just like, what's this one about? Because if it's the same stuff, I love watching that.
Because if it's a giant thing coming out of the fucking ocean destroying things,
yeah,
whoever yes. was like, have him fight King Kong, great, ugh. Great meeting.
Yep. Just and now keep there's more the monsters fight. In the radiation monster universe.
I think
there.
Transformers yes. even has a King Kong in it now.
Really?
Oh, I yeah. think one of the Transformers is a King Kong.
Well, the, yeah, there was a the animal transforming element to
that's
the
really funny to me. Is I hope a, like I hope at one point one of the trees has been a transformer but can't do much.
Is it a Kia Kong?
King Kong?
Because it's a car King, that they transform. King
Kong? I always think Kia about Kong? With the Kia Soul in particular, you know, Lizzie Cooperman. So sure. funny. She yeah. has a joke about how, because she had a Kia Soul, and she's like, I fell for the fucking hamster commercial. I'm the one. And then she went and bought a piece of shit car.
That's so funny.
Final before and after. It's 13 to 12. It all comes down to this. A curmudgeonly instructor at a prep school remains on campus over holiday break with a troublemaker student, and the two venture off to the World Arm Wrestling Championship.
Okay, so it's something over the top.
Yeah, this was another... This is another Paul Giamatti vehicle.
Is it?
I think so.
Over the top.
Kia? What if a Kia was a Paul Giamatti vehicle? Paul Giamatti. All right.
Okay, we're having a good time.
We're getting to over the top. We know that.
Yeah, okay. So over the top. So what's the movie?
Curmudgeonly instructor at a prep school remains on campus over holiday break with a troublemaker student, and the two venture off to the World Arm Wrestling Championships.
Not Finding Forrester.
I had a feeling you would both know one of these two, and it would be the same one, and we'd be exactly here.
Is it yeah. Finding Forrest Over the top?
Finding Forrest Over? Over the top.
I think Finding it just Forrest came out. This is a recent I'm trying to Giamatti think of a, film.
Giamatti? I'm not.
Or is this a... It's not a Deadpool.
You say curmudgeon, fans. Paul Giamatti comes to your head immediately, so I do understand
you're,
that.
You are correct in all of your instincts here.
But we just don't know the name of this fucking
So movie. Something over the top.
It's all over the top.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it doesn't start with maybe the movie doesn't end with over, it ends with like Rover.
This movie was nominated for an Oscar like 4 days ago. A few of them, I think.
Man.
Starting over the top.
We're looking for the holdovers, the top.
Yeah.
If you didn't know it, you don't know it. That's what it comes down to with that one.
No, I stopped watching Entertainment Tonight 20 years ago, so I'm just not up on my entertainment.
We're looking for the holdovers,
to
the top. All right, coming into our last game here, it is 12 to 13. This game that we're going to play is called Build the Perfect Movie.
Oh, okay.
It's the orange button, I think. Yeah. I need my computer.
Build a perfect movie.
How this game works is I'll give you a category.
Okay.
You each need to pick two movies from that category whose Rotten Tomatoes score add up to as close to 100 as possible without going over.
Oh.
So if I said Robin Williams movie, you could pick RV, which is a 24%,
mm-hmm.
and Happy Feet, which is a 76%. There's a perfect 100.
Yeah, okay.
You can't go over, so there'll be you'll each pick your first movie, then we'll review the scores, and then you can pick your second movie accordingly.
Oh, okay.
Let's do... Movies that start with the. I was trying to think of something that the bucket list works with.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We'll do movies that start with the. Who is winning? Paul, you're winning 13 to 12, so you can pick first.
Okay. I'm going to go with The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. Another movie I thought about doing.
Great. Adam, your first movie?
My first movie is going to be The Big Lebowski. But I have a feeling it's going to be really high, which is going to mean I need to find a real shitty one.
The Big Lebowski is an 80%.
Okay.
Wow, underrated.
The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants is an 82%.
Wow. I always thought it was 2% better than my favorite movie.
I always thought it was milk better.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is funny side by side.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's
This is hard. I'm trying.
That is
Big Lebowski is more to make up, so you'll pick first, Adam.
I need a few minutes.
Great, that's fine.
Is it another The Movie? Is
that another The Movie? So you're looking for 18% the word, and you're looking for 20% or
know,
less.
No, I need
Adam.
A bad The Movie. Okay, I think I got a bad.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with The Great White Hype. I believe that was a Damon Wayans boxing movie that sucked.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it might have been better. 20% is a low movie.
Okay.
I'm going to go with The Man in the Window.
The Man at the Window?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or the A Man by the Window?
I think it's a Johnny
or The
Depp
Woman
movie.
In the Window. Who?
I think it's a Johnny Depp movie. The Man
oh,
in the Window.
Oh, Secret Window.
Okay, all right. I'm thinking, all right, The Secret Window. Is it called Secret Window? I'll think of something that starts with the.
It is not called The Secret Window.
Fuck me. Okay, here we go.
The Secret Life of Walter Mitty?
Oh, how about The Secret Life of Pets 2?
Ugh.
That must have gotten nothing.
We really walked our way into a potential good answer here.
Yeah.
Here we go. The Big Lebowski is an 80%. The Great White Hype is a 42%.
Ah, man.
The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants is an 82%. The Secret Life of Pets 2 is 60.
Wow.
It's 60.
Guys.
I don't know anything that would be that would be The Cobbler.
The
Adam Sandler movie.
Oh, yeah.
The Adam Sandler movie? Is that the name of a movie?
The Cobbler is a 10%.
Oh, my God.
But that's a little bit of cheating because I just think of what are some recent Adam Sandler movies and didn't any start with The.
Wow, that's genius. You really retro engineered that.
The Retrofitter, I'm sure, is another. if there can be one of those in Hawaii, I'm sure Adam Sandler's played one.
That was challenging, and I really am. I thought the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants would receive a far lower score, but America Ferrera is in it. And
we will now. Let's, you know what? Let's do Adam Sandler movies. We'll do one category, try and get someone to qualify here. You can't use The Cobbler since we know it's percentage.
Okay.
But the new category is Adam Sandler movies. Two of them as close to 100% as possible without going over. Adam, you'll pick first on this one.
Okay. Let's start with Big Daddy.
Oh, that's going to be pretty high.
It's a hard like Google for me.
I'm going to guess this is going to be around a 60 to 70.
Okay.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I'm going to go Click.
All right. Click is a 34%.
Okay. Wow.
I thought it would be a little higher.
I thought it'd be higher than that. Yeah.
It was really bad.
Big Daddy is a 39%.
What? Big Daddy
so
was legit.
You're looking
I was
for a
61.
Legitimately
funny.
Charming.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to remember, Big Daddy came out in 1999. There weren't that many critics, and a lot of people didn't like watching kids piss.
yes. It actually broke down a lot of barriers for kids pissing.
Yeah, it really did. Well, it eroded them slowly over time.
I just have no idea where Adam Sandler movies are going to land
it's
on this.
It's tough.
Because our age group, we're a weird. Like, for me, Billy Madison or Happy Gilmore are just like, put them in the 90s.
But these are like, at this point, the only film reviewers were like 16, 50-year-olds.
Right.
Yeah.
Versus now where you can get like rotten. You know, like, I bet Big Daddy has 1,000 reviews maybe, yeah. But a movie that comes out now will have like 25,000 reviews.
Man.
I'm actually going to look at that. So Click, 34. Paul, you'll pick first. You're looking for a 66. Adam, you're looking for a 61. Big Daddy only has 94 reviews.
Wow.
I think Punch Drunk Love, considering the era of reviewers,
yeah.
I think that this might be in a good spot.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to go with just a classic Sandler movie that everybody loved if they love Sandler. So let's just go with Billy Madison and hope it got a 40 or a 50 or something.
All right. Here we go. Click is a 34%. Punch Drunk Love, 79.
Fuck!
79. Wow. The wow. P.T. Anderson lift to that.
I know, but I really thought that the Sandler-ness of it was going to tank it further.
I do love that movie.
It's great.
I think Philip Seymour Hoffman will give you 50%. And then, so after that, it's like, what does the rest add up to?
You're right.
Here we go. Big Daddy, 39%. Billy Madison, 40%.
All right.
But at least you qualified.
Yeah. Hey.
Congrats.
There you go.
Thank you.
It all feels lukewarm.
What did Funny People get?
They don't actually have any more movies up.
Ah.
when you look up Funny People's Rotten Tomatoes, it's a 69%. But it says 80% for the first 2 hours and 40 minutes, and then a negative 11% for the last hour and
so
a half.
So fair. So sad and fair.
We're done, but I've actually talked to people about, like, it's a pretty great look. Someone hit me up because they're writing a show about stand-up comedy, and they wanted to be like, is this how a relationship works? I'm like, there's like a good hour in the beginning of Funny People that shows pretty nice fledgling comedy relationships.
Yeah.
Then Eric Bana's in it eventually.
Yeah, and that just, you're like,
and it like is like, then it goes off the rails. But I'm like, this is like a, like all comedy things, everyone succeeds too fast.
Yeah, it's, I feel like it's really rooted in the 80s idea of what stand-up comedy was.
Yeah.
At least it has no, it, I remember it was sort of happening as I was starting out in comedy, and I was like, I don't, nothing, none of this is how it
the
works.
The only thing that made sense was couch sharing.
Yes.
And then sort of like kind of not the funniest sets at like shows at the Comedy Store, or the Improv or wherever it was.
Yes.
But I do agree. I think there's something so romanticized about like every stand-up thing, even like Crashing, which I think is newer than Funny People. He's like a warm-up comic for a daytime TV show like a year in.
Yeah, you're like, yeah. No fucking like, way.
That gig is so impossible. It's so hard to
get. Right, the person who has that gig is 70.
Right.
The person who has that gig is Seth Herzog, who's been doing it for 30 years and knows everybody. Like, yeah. He's the guy that gets that gig.
Anyways, Funny People. 69%. And I like that. It's funny. It's nice that it's the funniest percent.
Yeah.
I think that's
that
thoughtful.
That is thoughtful. Very thoughtful.
Well, hey, that's it for us here, Paul. Thanks for having Never Seen the Bucket List.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to keep never seeing it.
Oh, that's what we like to hear. Yeah. That's what we want to happen. Everyone know where to find you. Let everyone know about the album and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, you can find me everywhere at Paul Danke, D-A-N-K-E. I just put out an album with a Special Thing Records. It's got Hour of Stand-Up. I recorded up at Savage Henry Comedy Club, and there's two songs on it because... fuck me. Because yeah. I decided to start
that's
doing
great.
That too. Yeah.
I fucking do
I love that,
that too.
I think it's I think it's fun just to throw all of your stuff out there and just let people deal with it. Feel free to like it or feel free to not like it. I couldn't care less.
thank you, Adam. Anything you want to let people know about?
Very similar to Paul. I have I got a new special coming out March. It's not even announced yet, but it will be March 22nd, and we'll announce it in a month anyway. But it also, I threw two songs on there because of the pandemic. I got bored and wrote some songs. So that and the Pussy Boys podcast. That's all Z's, everybody. Pussy Boys.
It's about cats.
It's about dudes who like cats.
Thank you guys so much. I got to give a shout out real quick on the before and afters. Some of these titles were written by people on the Discord for the podcast. Masubi, Awesome Unicorn, Scott's Alive, Hurdle Dude. Thank you for those titles. If you want to get on the Discord and play before and afters against a robot and talk to people who like the podcast, go to fart.kyleairs.com. And thank you so much. That's it for me here at Never Seen It. Thank you so much to Paul. Thank you to Adam. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Find us online at Kyle Ayers, KYLEAYERS, on Instagram, and see these tour dates coming up. Hope to see you in Los Angeles this weekend. Have a wonderful day.